Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Some breaking news. The PNJ is reporting that Melanie Luna, the aide to Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger, has resigned her position effective on Friday. I'm actually working to double-check that. I mean, Molly's a very good reporter. I wouldn't doubt it. I just always, you know, even good reporters, you double-check. That's what you do. So we'll get you more information as soon as we have it. Meanwhile, we have Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson on the line with us. Sheriff, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So there was, I've read online several accounts of we had a paddleboarder. There was a search for this paddleboarder who was missing, concerned that maybe that person had been struck by lightning. This was going on overnight and into the morning. What can you tell us?
Yeah, FWC actually took the case over since it actually occurred on a waterway. But, apparently the father was with them at the time, and several people, I believe, saw him get hit by lightning and then go into the water. And, you know, which is a terrible thing, especially right in front of the dad. I can't even imagine what's what he's going through right now. But and then later on, I do believe FWC did recover the body. And, you know, thoughts and prayers with that family. God help them. That's such a tragedy. But, you know, Florida has the most lightning strikes of any state in America. And it, unfortunately, it happens more than it should. But you get out on that water and a storm creeps up on you, you got to try to find cover as fast as you can.
Oh, man. I'm like you. I can only imagine what that family's going through. And, you know, as people who do paddleboarding and, you know, small boating and stuff, it's, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
And especially because you're slow moving, you get caught somewhere, it's hard to find shelter or you're too far. I mean, yeah. This was on Blackwater somewhere?
Yeah. And it was right by the Navy place, you know, where you rent kayaks and stuff. I think they call it MWR.
Oh, okay.
And I think several people actually saw it. And the bad part is, you know, when he got hit by lightning, I think everybody knew the outcome. They just wanted to obviously recover the body, but it's just a horrific event.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, you know, like you said, I know NAS Wedding Field had put a post up about it, and so, you know, a lot of local concern, especially in that area. So, man, again, like you say, prayers for the family as well. We also had an incident with a Pace man. I think this was last Sunday, so before you and I would have talked, but still came out afterwards. He became aggressive and made physical contact with emergency personnel during a call for service in Pace.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, this happens a lot. Usually when EMS and fire and law enforcement get called to a scene, you know, for a medical call or whatever, tensions are high, especially family members, you know, if they don't think they're, you know, fire and EMS is doing enough for their loved one or whatever, they get pretty vocal and sometimes pretty violent. And that's when we step in. That's why I usually on medical runs, most medical runs where a lot of family is there, they always call for us as well. Kind of crowd control kind of thing. But it happens more than you would suspect. And the scary part is, you know, fire and EMS, they're trying to help. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't think they're doing enough, they're still there trying to do what they do. And they know more about medical stuff than the average person does. So the main thing I could say to citizens is, I know, it, you know, when they get called, it's usually a horrific event, but let them do their job. And, you know, try to calm down as best as possible so we don't have to get involved.
Yeah, it's stressful. It's scary. You obviously are very concerned about your loved one or if it's yourself, you know, whatever's going on. And I'm with you. I'm sure that the incidents are, you know, more than we probably hear about, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to get your reaction to something that Jimmy Patronis told us last week. He filed a bill. I'm not sure if you'd heard about this, but he filed a bill that would legalize machine guns, essentially undoing some of the rules in the 1986 Gun Safety Act, the one that essentially said that pre-86, those were the only ones, and that after that, you know, nothing could be manufactured or sold to the private citizen. Of course, there's some exceptions based on federal licensing, but this would allow anybody to have an AR-15 fully automatic, an AK-47, an M249, an Uzi, whatever. And, you know, you're law enforcement. You're tasked with dealing with the bad guys and also the good guys when they make mistakes. You have an opinion?
Yeah, and, you know, everybody knows I'm a big Second Amendment guy. I mean, somebody breaks in your house, you saw them at a press conference, shoot them. Hey, we'll deal with it later. My thing is this, and after 20 years on SWAT, and also I was in the military, I fired fully automatic M4s, fully automatic MP5s. And I can tell you this, there's very little need for that in a civilian environment. Now, obviously, in the military world, you got to have them. You got to have the saws and all the different M60s and everything else that, you know, keeps suppressive fire. That's, you definitely need that in the military. In a civilian environment, I can't think of a need for it. I mean, even in a SWAT environment, we've never, ever in Santa Rosa County SWAT fired on a person with fully automatic. Number one, it's not as accurate. Number two, that's more bullets you have to account for, because once the bullet leaves the gun, it's going to go wherever. So I just don't see the need for somebody owning an M60 or a saw or anything like that that's fully automatic. I mean, it is what it is. I don't know that it will pass, but if it does, obviously, you know, we go by the laws and, you know, people can get machine guns in.
We've had this kind of conversation. I've talked, I think, more about it with Chip, maybe Chip Simmons, but like the Glock switches that allow a handgun to be fully automatic, which if I'm fighting against a criminal and I've got my semi-automatic Glock and he's got a Glock switch, I'm actually happier about that because he's going to rattle off his rounds. He's going to miss me 20 times instead of missing me twice. And, you know, it's going to go all over the place. I tend to prefer that because, like you said, accuracy. From a law enforcement perspective, I wanted to ask you, if this becomes legal, does this present additional challenges for you as law enforcement? Because, you know, you guys went to semi-automatics when the criminals went to semi-automatics. You guys have gone to rifles because the criminals have gone to rifles. Would you guys feel more of a need to go to that, even though, as you say, accuracy and cartridges and everything else are a problem? Would that be a problem for you?
Well, obviously it would be a problem because, you know, criminals would have the spray and pray mentality. They don't care where the bullet goes. They don't have to really answer for it other than the fact that we're going to kill them or they're going to prison. And, you know, that's the only two outcomes they have. Whereas when we open fire, we have to account for every bullet, and cops being cops, I mean, we don't get in the job to kill people. We get in the job to help people. So the last thing a cop wants to do is spray and pray and, oops, I'm sorry I hit that 4-year-old, but that's the dirtbag mentality. They don't care what happens. So if we flood the country with machine guns, obviously criminals are going to get a hold of them, and then we have to deal with the criminals. So I would say this, if this passes and everybody gets machine guns and everything, are we going to go to them? Probably not, because we still put emphasis on shot placement, not quantity of shots. So it, like you said, if he's over there spraying and praying with an M4 and we got a guy behind a tree that can take a headshot with one bullet, that's what's going to happen. I mean, hey, sorry for your loss, but I don't see us carrying fully automatics. Now, SWAT does have fully automatic M4s. Not everybody has them, but certain people on the team have them for suppressive fire when, you know, we're trying to approach a building and we know there's only criminals in the building or something that may need suppressive fire. They have that option. But, like I said, in the 20 years I was on the team, we've never fired a fully automatic weapon at a human being, so...
Yeah, and, you know, having the ability and having a need to use it in any particular circumstance, different questions, right? Sheriff, as you know, the session for the House is in, you know, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. But there's been no bill filed for property taxes in the House. Now, the House could come in and they could take up the Senate bill, or they could just gavel in and gavel out. We could do a repeat of what was done a year and a half ago with the immigration stuff. I'm reluctant to ask you what you think is going to happen, but obviously you guys have had to think a lot about what would happen if property taxes change, right?
Yeah. And, you know, we have I think our budget's like 80, 81 million. And a big proportion of that comes from property taxes. So obviously if it passes, you know, we're going to have to rethink some things. And of course the county's going to have to rethink some things, but, I don't know that it's going to pass. I've just heard so many different options and so many different things. I saw the one that the governor put out just recently, the most recent one, and, going from 50,000 to 250,000 on homestead exemptions. So I don't know. I haven't spoken to the property appraiser or the tax collector to see what kind of damage that would do to our budget. But, you know, if it passes, it passes. It's something we'll have to deal with.
Right. And, you know, you're ultimately the one who has to follow the law and implement it and deal with it, not the one that gets to make it, sometimes, unfortunately. The hurricane season is today. We haven't talked much about this, but you have been a – man, you've been here since, what, 93? Is that right?
Right. I've been in Florida off and on since 76.
Okay.
Off and on, but actually living here. 1993, I experienced all the good hurricanes, Ivan, Opal, Aaron, Sally, all the ones. So I just tell everybody in Santa Rosa County, be prepared, you know, have your water and your different supplies, your flashlights, radios, that kind of thing. And, you know, if we say evacuate, evacuate. And a lot of people don't want to do that. But, you know, you get a category 4.5 is what I call it, was Ivan. And we went out on the beach and we're trying to get people to evacuate, and they didn't want to evacuate. And we didn't force them. And then when the storm hit, we started getting calls of, hey, the water's rising. Can you come get us? And we're like, no, we can't. If the emergency management tells you to evacuate because of the flood zone you're in, just take heed to it. But hopefully we're going to have a quiet season. You never know, but right. Hopefully it'll be quiet.
Do you have any thought about how to reach, because we've seen these very concerning reports that people under the age of 30, you know, they don't watch TV, they don't read the newspaper. I mean, they're probably all listening to me, but anyway, they don't listen to the radio. they get their, God help us, they get their news on TikTok. What are you guys doing, if anything, to try to reach that audience, particularly when it comes to, you know, emergency news, disaster news, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's very difficult. This new generation doesn't believe in watching television for news. So what we do, and the only thing we really do to try to reach them as best we can, is to put out stuff on TikTok, put out stuff on Facebook, and try to reach them. But yeah, it's up to the family members. Like, you know, and I have a 30-year-old and a 35-year-old, and they don't watch the news. And I'm like, how do you not watch the news? And we don't care about it. And I'm like, oh my God, it drives me crazy. So I have to be the responsible party as usual and tell them, hey, there's a hurricane coming or whatever. But yeah, it's pretty frustrating that the newer generation, they don't believe in watching TV for news.
Well, we used to always tell people, check on your elderly neighbors. I think now we have to tell people, check on your young neighbors too, because they might not know what's going on. Hey,
they have the adage, like I think it was Mark Twain said, if you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you do watch the news, you're misinformed.
Right. So. Yeah. Hey, last thing, and this is just a follow-up because we talked about Star Wars the last time you were on and how you saw episode 4 in the theater the day it came out and you've never seen any other ones. But you and I talked a little bit afterwards because I was like, how does that happen? But in your case, it wasn't a deliberate resistance. It was just circumstance and timing, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I was overseas for growing up mostly, so I didn't get an opportunity to see it. And you're referring to it wrong. I watched episode 1 because it was the first one to come out. You can't have episode 4 as the first one. So that also led me to believe that, hey, if that was episode 4, I missed 1, 2, and 3. Why watch them? I know how it's going to end.
But like between your deployments and I think Japan and just the timing of it all just didn't work out. And then you're discovering after the fact that the trilogy isn't even the first trilogy. And, you know, I'm done. I'm out of there.
Yeah.
I love it.
I saw the end. What's the point?
I saw the end. What's the point? Sheriff Bob Johnson, as always, sir, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time and keeping us safe and informed. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care.